Welcome back to KC Radio, 25 minutes to the hour of 2 o'clock on this Sunday afternoon. We've just heard from the boys down there at the Frankston Oval in that round three clash. They're previewing the big game between the Frankston Dolphins and, of course, KC Scorpions. It is blowing a gale, and I'm sure it is no different a little bit further up the road, about another 25 kilometres along Beach Road. We cross down to Jack Richter, and hopefully he hasn't been blown away and he's still there. Sandringham versus North Ballarat. Good afternoon, Jack.
I'm struggling to keep my feet down here at Trevor Barker Beach Oval. The wind is ridiculous, blowing in off the bay, and I've never seen it like this, and there's going to be worse to come with the rain and also the hail to follow it, which will be an amazing thing. Big game, as you mentioned, it's last year's Premiers versus Sandy, who are the team most people have predicted to possibly win this year's Premiership, considering their last two performances against Casey and also Frankston. They, again, smashed Casey by 100 points plus last time they were here, then went down to Frankston and won by 5 goals. So it's 2 wins and a percentage of over 200. The Roosters, well, they're off a bye from last weekend, and they got belted by the Burrows in round one by 13 goals. I'm pretty sure they'll be pretty angry and pretty determined not to make that a culture of losing this year. I'm expecting big games from Rod Crowe, Shane Tregear, David Gallagher, Maguire, Zav Clark and Tom Lynch, all for the Zebras. And for the North Ballarat, Tom Roach and Ed Lower, I'm expecting a couple of big games from him. Now, Nick Zortner, he has kicked 14 goals in 2 weeks and it's just been amazing. But, look, it might be tough for him today with the conditions, and I'm not expecting him to be doing much. And just lastly, my tip for today, I want Sandy to win by 12 goals because I drew it out of a raffle, but I don't see that happening. I'm going to predict that Sandy will win by 10 points, John.
And how are the two sides stacking up? How do they fare head-to-head? What's the record been like previously? Like Frankston, Sandringham do play their home ground very well, don't they, Jack?
They do. Sandy just love coming here. They love playing in front of their home crowd. Not many people here, as you'd appreciate, but these two have always provided good games of footy, and that's why I'm here and not at Frankston, where I was meant to be. But anyway, it should be an epic game, and I'm really looking forward to it. The conditions, they're going to play a massive part in it, but I'm not too sure if they can adapt to it all. And it'll just be the team who wants it, I guess.
Okay, and obviously kicking with the breeze is going to be an advantage to commence with?
Well, it is, but the breeze is going across the ground mostly, possibly favouring the yacht club side of the ground, but I'm just looking at today, it is blowing across it, so possibly not real advantage for anybody.
All right, let's stick the neck out, Jack. Who are you going to tip?
Yeah, well, I've tipped Sandy by 12 goals, but I don't think they'll get there.
All right, 12 goals, eh? And wet, blustery and very dark here as I speak as well, Jack. And we just heard from Phil Pearce earlier on the boundary down there at the Frankston Oval, and he was quoted as saying conditions never, ever seen anything like it.
Well, wouldn't be surprised if we see some snow today.
All right, well, you stay warm, mate. We're going to cross back to you a little bit later on in the afternoon. Just before you do go, a score in the reserves there?
Score in the reserves. And a behind just for Sandringham, it's 6-8-44 to North Ballarat's 8-12-60.
All right, good on you, Jack. Stay warm and go and find that mobile coffee van you're looking for. We'll talk to you a little bit later on. Let's
surely,
go back
mate.
Now to the Frankston Oval and welcome the 3 SER commentary team back
can.
To the airways once again.
They play to their structures and they listen to what we've been doing all week. You know, they'll have a real crack.
Well, Jack, look, thanks for joining us here on KC Radio 97.7. It's always good to catch up with a young kid of your calibre, and good luck for the rest of the season, and who knows, KC might have a win this afternoon in the seniors against Frankston.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks to Phil Pearce, and there's the magic of community radio for you right there as we join the last 20 seconds of Phil Pearce's exclusive interview with Jack Watts as he comes off the ground following his second appearance for the Casey Scorpions reserves this season. The final score in that curtain raiser, Casey Scorpions 8-12-60, Frankston Dolphins 4-7-31.
I wanted to see the Phil Pearce and Jack Watts just get amongst it out there together out on Frankston Park, and we missed out. But
arms around the shoulders.
Thanks to Jack for giving us his time.
But no, we better give a bit of a traffic report, Chris. It's all happening out the front of Frankston Park on Young Street, yeah.
I was dodging trees on the way across the road.
Darren seems to leave and the world just seems to crumble around him. But a tree has come down over Young Street. It is across, if you're driving, I guess, into Frankston, coming back around from the ground. So it shouldn't affect you if you're coming in. But just be a little bit wary around Young Street. You might see the SES down there cutting the tree because it has taken up the whole... I guess you'd say outbound lanes from Frankston Park.
Take care generally on the roads this afternoon. I know when I was driving down on Eastlink, I was nearly blown over Mulgrave at one point. So very treacherous conditions.
You do drive like a bat out of hell, mate. So, you know, it's probably what, locking it up, were you in the wet?
No.
Just, you know, a bit of a snaky down down Burke Road onto the Eastlink and burn your way down here to Frankston Park. No, you did it in 20 minutes.
I think more likely with me, Caden, is listening to the dulcet tones of Radio National and trying to stick to the left-hand lane. But still, very treacherous conditions wherever you are in Melbourne this afternoon. Phil, you said it was the most treacherous conditions you've seen in 14 years. I don't know about that, mate. I remember calling a game from the front seat of a car here last year.
Yeah, not as bad as this, although we did get soaked in rain when you and Nigel were using the... mobile phone, we had a few problems with our technician and these sort of things, but thank goodness we're in good nick and we're in a much comfortable position today, guys.
Few problems, Jesus. We had to put the demister on at one point, Phil. We couldn't see the ground from the front seat of Nigel's car. But that was last year, a game between Frankston and Bendigo in very strange and wintry conditions. As I say, that curtain raiser in the reserves this afternoon, it was the Casey Scorpions by 29 points. 8-12-60 to the Frankston Dolphins, 4-7-31. We'll go through the two sides and the changes that have been made with the team sheets having come in.
The boys are keen, aren't they? Both clubs, both sides are on the ground, getting...
Probably takes you 40 minutes to warm up.
Used to the conditions, yeah. And I guess the rooms here wouldn't be the best ones to try and warm up with, especially if you are away. So I don't know, you know, they got the grandstand burnt down, so I'm not bagging the facilities. It's great they've got something temporary there, but wouldn't be good for the Casey Scorpions boys, I'm sure.
Lots of players this afternoon came with the hamstring warmers on, I see. No doubt a lot of Denka rub and deep heat would be used in the changing rooms on such a day as this.
Looking, I mean, it'd be probably the conditions to wear the long sleeve jumper as well, if you can.
Yep, the chest marks coming in, just make sure you've got a bit more friction.
It's, you know, conditions like this really does bring a side like Frankston against and a line side like Melbourne into the play, doesn't it? Because they generally have some bigger bodied midfielders as well. Couple of pre-seasons under their belt there, you know, big Brett Dawe like these conditions where it will come down to one of those more physical battles.
I think also it shows off Frankston's advantage, and they've got players who are willing to run past the lines and kick long to contests this afternoon. If they can break through the lines, kick it long 50, 55 metres, let the wind carry the rest of the way up towards those tall forwards, and Frankston have a real advantage there. The skills being paramount in these conditions, if you've got players who can kick past the short contest and the zone defence, which so many sides are using, Darren.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, even if you Kane mentioned the stronger body, if you look at Casey, their list on a whole is young, but also the Melbourne Lion players, still quite a young group. So.
Well, there's been a couple of changes from last week, though, Darren, in the for the players coming through. Yeah. They had some experience from the Melbourne side.
Liam Jarrow's out.
I'll go through those sides too, because it's interesting, boys, at Frankston, who had an unchanged lineup for the first 2 weeks of the season. They've made four changes this week. Out of the side go Byron Barry and Clinton Proctor, both players still feeling the effects of concussions received in that round two game against Sandringham, while Daniel Corpin, your boy Kane, Aaron Purvis, he also misses out this week. However, into the side come Clark Lombardozzi, another one of the Ablets, Michael Ablett, who's come to the Frankston Footy Club this year.
No, he's returned to the Frankston Football Club.
Returned, like Christian Ongarello and Matthew Burns, he's returned.
He is a gun. Phil, how good's Michael Ablett?
He's a good player. I was actually going to mention that name.
Player of the year?
Yeah, and I was going to... He actually had a stint in the States for a few years, so he's come back to Frankston to decide to have another go.
Kelvin Barnes and Levi Casbolt. So those five ins, Clark Lombardozzi, Ablett, Barnes And Casbolt is the 23rd player with the under 19 player from the TAC Cup added to the side this afternoon. Barry, Proctor, Corp and Purvis going out. For the Casey Scorpions meantime, six changes for them. Into the side come Glenn Chivers, the former St Kilda rookie who's continued on with the Casey Scorpions, Augustine Paddy from the Dandenong Stingrays, Kyle Chaney, Daniel Bell, Daniel Hughes and Austin Wanamiri. Those last four being Melbourne AFL listed players, while out of the side goes Ben McCready, who's serving a one match suspension for charging, Liam Jarrah, Adam Marich, Jake Spencer and Trent Zoma. Kane, you saw the McCready incident last week. What was your take?
I thought at the time that he...
Darren?
I remember calling at the time that I thought he probably should have got a week. I think, Kane, you thought it might have been probably just a free kick, just a 50-metre penalty?
Just a 50-metre, yeah. But anyway...
Describe the incident to us, boys, for those not fortunate
to see it. It was just a fraction late. The Port Melbourne player, I can't remember which it was, just basically took the mark, and it appeared apparent to me that the Casey player could have pulled out but opted to take the player out, so I thought the report was fair enough. I mean, it's probably only a second in it either way, but I think the intent was there.
If McCready was on a Melbourne list, he wouldn't have got a week.
And then we come back again to controversy about whether players on AFL-listed players are given... the benefit of the doubt at this level. There seems to be a correlation between AFL players getting off from...
Well, there was plenty of talk about the incident down here last week, wasn't
it? With Matt McGuire. Proctor.
And Proctor's now, out for six or so weeks with a pretty severe injury. Did he do his shoulder, or was it just concussion?
I think it was strained ligaments in the neck what he ended up in hospital with.
That was...
So, I mean, I know it's probably more like how long will Proctor stay out of the game for, but... I didn't actually see the incident, but some of those tackles are going to have to come under the microscope soon, because they are coming quite dangerous. Players are being trained to actually tackle players in a way that can injure their opponents, a bit like they've got in rugby league.
Brian Mace mentioned during the week that they might have a look at the video to see if there was anything in it. The Frankston general manager was a bit concerned about the fact that three players had headed to hospital after the game with concussion or head-related injuries.
It's not the first time it's happened. Shannon Cox last year had that incident when he pushed the player into the fence was down here at Frankston Park, wasn't it?
Now
I know Lee hit some exposed concrete, so
he missed the rest of the season, though.
Exactly, and I don't even know if he's on the list now.
Now I saw the game. Now, sort of removing all bias aside, it appeared to be an issue to me in regards to a player who weighs about 105 kilos tackling a player who probably weighs mid to high 70s. And, I mean, you've got to ask the question, is there an obligation when a bigger body tackles a smaller body to not throw them to the ground in that manner? But the whole time in the tackle, Clinton Proctor had possession of the ball the whole way being brought to ground.
No, but you'd...
AFL clubs nowadays go through. AFL clubs nowadays go through.
He should got to play some sort of duty of care.
That's what I mean. Is there an obligation?
He has to. AFL clubs go through the same training processes as a lot of rugby league clubs do now.
It's unduly rough play, isn't it?
Yeah, and it means that once a tackle is made, you'll often see players really dig their opponents into the ground, really force them in by the shoulder.
We saw the incident last night with Brent Harvey and the tackle from Matthew White. You know, he's... grabbed his arm and twisted it in the tackle.
The arm actually broke. I think it was the arm that broke that landed. The left arm.
Dislocated elbow. But, I mean, those sort of things, as you know, if you've ever played the game, you are in control of what you do to your opponent in a tackle. McGuire would have known when he picked him up that he was carrying a lightweight and decided to go through the tackle in a pretty hard way. You can pull out of tackles without injuring the player.
It's particularly the case where an opponent has his arms pinned in and has no way of protecting himself as he's pushed into the ground. We saw a couple in the AFL in recent seasons. Aaron Hamill and Will Thirstfield comes to mind. And last season, another Richmond player was a victim. Darren Milburn tackled Shane Edwards.
But that's the one... Do you have time... Do you think players should have time to assess a situation, say a McGuire or any big body... have the time to think, well, I'm tackling John Baird, I'm not tackling Clinton Proctor, therefore I can go harder.
I think more to the point, Darren, you look at that Milburn Proctor incident, and you know, even as the opponent, that the ball's out of the contest.
Yeah.
The opponent has no control over the footy.
And he's basically
anymore.
Sideways on the ground. He's not going to dispose of the football, so it's... Yeah.
We're happy to ping players for fronts on contact sometimes when it's even marginal fronts on contact, yet the unduly rough play, it seems to have gone out the window, Kane.
It has, yeah, and it's something that really needs to be... stamped out before we have more injuries due to it, and the Telstra Dome surface really doesn't help those sort of tackles at a VFL level. McGuire, you know, as much as he wants to apply the physical presence, he needs to have a bit more duty of care, because we will end up seeing more injuries like that throughout the competition.
Now, Frankston have just finished their warm-up, boys, heading towards the eastern end of the ground, and while the players were taking pings at goal, to give you an idea of the breeze, from 50 metres out, several players have got the ball to not only clear the goals, but to clear the cyclone fence at the back of the ground and fly over the other side of the road.
I was going to go more, even more than that. They couldn't even get... They went to do a warm-up drill with the rucks, and they basically have to give up because they couldn't get the ball to be thrown up in a direction...
This is the Casey side.
No, this is the Frankston side. Right. They're there with Whelan and a couple of the midfielders. Saw Winterton there as well. They were trying to throw the ball up so they could do the ruck, and they couldn't get the ball to stay straight enough for... Whelan to jump into the bag and tap it down to the midfielder. So they spent 5 minutes or so, they're just throwing the ball up, trying to get it straight, and Whelan and the boys just kept trying to get into position. They couldn't do
it. Well, it'll be an issue this afternoon, won't it, boys? Because last week at Princess Park, Visi Park, we saw maybe 7 or 8 centre bounces have to be recalled under the new rule. I wonder if the umpires are going to be quite so picky this afternoon.
Yesterday, it wasn't so much the bounces that were causing the problems. The wind wasn't quite as strong, but the general play bounces... The umpires kept going with it all day and they couldn't get it right, and they just should have been recalled. Yeah. A couple of times the ball got bounced, and it was bouncing a second time for the ruckman to go up again. It was disgraceful.
The decision needs to be made basically at the start of the game. The conditions are as they are. We need to throw the ball up today. But you look at it and you think it's a 5 or 6 goal breeze, but the conditions of the game are so difficult that it's very difficult to score 5 or 6 goals in a quarter, even when you've got it. I mean, you saw the difficulties in the middle, kicking the ball around the ground in general play. I think you'd be looking at probably... I mean, we saw the reserves game at Sandy and the reserves game here, something like 8 goals to 4. I'd be expecting a scoreline probably around about there, 12 goals to 8, something like that would be about the most you'd probably be looking at as a winning score. If you kick 11 or 12, you'll probably get home today, I reckon.
Just on those ruckmen, I want to go back to that point because... Both sides have struggled during the off-season to retain their tall stocks. Of course, Casey Scorpions were heavily reliant on St Kilda-listed ruckman last year. But they have no Jake Spencer in the side this afternoon, which means that Tim Moore, at 195 centimetres, will have to do a lot of the work in ruck and also going back into defence. While for Frankston, they've got Peter Whelan, who, a second-year ruckman, Kane Pollard, looks as if he's coming on a step or two.
Well, he burst onto the scene last year, didn't he, with some very impressive form, and then tapered off towards the end of the season and was sent back to the reserves. This is the first time we broadcast Frankston in 2009. We'll go through some of their actual departures, because that just goes to prove just how many of their big names went out. It's been left out of this little guide I've got here, but they lost Anthony Eames. They also lost Chris Oliver and Russell Gabriel. They're three big-bodied, big, tall men that are no longer at the Frankston side. So Peter Whelan obviously have some faith in him to really stand up as one of their standalone ruckmen in 2009. But I'm sure there'll be one of the new players here that we haven't noticed that might do some duties in the ruck. Michael Lowry, who will spend some time on the forward line, might be that relieving ruckman used this afternoon.
We'll try and get some other scores too from around the grounds this afternoon.
We've got
one
from Cadinia Park. Yep. Geelong 5-4-34, Brisbane 2 behinds. Not entirely unexpected down there in the conditions.
That's in the AFL. We'll wait too for score, no doubt, hopefully from the VFL in the Williamstown Werribee game.
Because they would have already been through the first quarter there, so Jim should jump onto the website for us.
And they should have that.
This afternoon we have 4 games under progress in the VFL. This game here, Frankston versus the Casey Scorpions. Jack Richter will be providing comments from Sandringham versus North Ballarat, and also that ABC game, Williamstown versus Werribee, and the Bendigo Bombers against Collingwood up at the Queen Elizabeth Oval 1, the AFL. 3 games on during the broadcast. We had that early start between Geelong and Brisbane at Geelong. We have the late play between Melbourne and Adelaide.
Yes, and the 2 o'clock game is the Bulldogs and Carlton at the Dome. Probably the most interesting of the 3 fixtures, you would imagine.
We'll try and get as many score updates from both the VFL and the AFL as we can for you this afternoon. Got any thoughts or something to say, something you need to get off your chest? Remember again that VFL Talk SMS is 0424 438 415. That's 0424 438 415. We'll try and answer your questions during the course of the afternoon. Say what's on your mind, even if it concerns us or the game in progress.
Well, someone needs to get something off their mind. It's Phil Pearce.
Yeah, guys, look, I want to send a special cheerio to those ladies in the canteen over at the Young Street Inn, Margaret, Kayleen, Sharon and Jane. So if I didn't mention their names, they'll be giving me the fearsome spray in my lot.
Okay, will they be sending over some hot dogs at halftime for us, will they, Phil?
Well, let's hope so, because we're as hungry as anyone. And what I'll do, guys, is go out for the toss of the coin.
Or maybe something even stronger this afternoon.
Quarter time.
The Earl Grey's alone this year.
Quarter time score from Williamstown. Williamstown 5-7-37. Where are we yet to get off the mark? 0-0-0 at the moment. So 37 point lead.
So it's a 5-goal breeze at Chernside Park, Darren.
It appears that way.
Burbank?
Burbank, is it? Yeah, even worse.
Down by the point at Point Jellybrand.
Yeah, wonder if the ABC got to air. If not, hopefully you're listening to our Hour of Power. No, sorry, that's another another broadcast team. Our VFL rap. As you can just hear the roving mic being taken outside by Phil Pearce. He's walking into the breeze. That is about 100 kilometres at the moment.
It is not bad, is it? And I've got to say, you as an old grey man wouldn't have picked it. I think you're more of a chai man myself, Kane Pollard.
No.
Maybe some of the herbal teas?
I could do some chai to try and bring me into the zen to get myself built up for a game like this. But I've promised you blue sky as game time would come, and here it is. There's no rain out there, I don't think.
I wouldn't rule it out over the course of the afternoon, but we certainly haven't lost any of this breeze, and still very choppy just to the right of us there looking out over the bay. But we should get underway with a relatively clear palette in the sky.
Now, there's one player that I've been itching to talk about this afternoon as we go into our preview of the big game here, the KC Scorpions and Frankston. Chris?
Go on.
I've talked about him last night to you on the phone. Number nine, Matt Moore.
Yes.
He's Dickie Fingers Matt Moore. He took 10 contested marks or thereabouts last weekend. Every time the ball went near him, he just seems to just come out and attack the ball hard. And it's great to see a player actually grab the football with one grab and hold it in there strong.
And most importantly, it's that hitting the ball hard factor that's going to be advantageous today. Just hitting the ball hard, locking it in the area and attacking it first to the footy, playing in front. It's going to drop short, kicking into the wind. So
you know, the only one is a big rap for him, Kane. Paul Amy, a very respected VFL journalist, was a big rap for him after seeing him in the reserves for KC Scorpions in round one against Sandringham. Phil Pearce has made his way out to the centre for the coin toss. In the meantime, though, while we wait, we'll go through those changes again.
Yeah, sorry, Chris.
Frankston in Clark, Lombardozzi, Michael Ablett, Barnes and Casbolt, who comes from the TAC Cup, and out the side, Barry, Proctor, Corp and Purvis. While for the KC Scorpions, in come Chivers, Patty, who's a TAC Cup player, Chaney, Bell, Hughes and Wanamiri. Out go McCready, Jarrah, Marich, Spencer and Zoma. So nine AFL-listed players there for the KC Scorpions this afternoon. And look at Phil Pearce there, just like a vulture over a carcass. He's waiting for the captains to come to the centre as we speak for the coin toss. This is the highlight of his afternoon, you realise, Kane?
It is. It's a bit of a shame that it is his highlight, but it must be a pretty quiet afternoon for Phil Pearce. But seriously, boys,
it's got no company in front of us this afternoon, either.
No. Most of the crowd will be around us, so they'll be up here in the social club at Frankston Park. But days like this generally leaves it to whichever midfield can use the ball best in these conditions, which team can adapt fast enough and have the skill level at a percentage right now, since they break football down to that at the highest level, because it really is important for both these sides to use the ball well, get inside their forward line, where we'll see Chivers, Robertson, and also the man I just mentioned, Moore, operate close to the goal face. Danny Hughes will be a big inclusion against the players like Murray and Lowry, who will be supported by some of the smaller players in Marajalani and Berry. So it'll be interesting to see how both teams set up. Big inclusions this week for KC Scorpions, though. With plenty of AFL experience and around goal, Wanamiri and Chivers. So a couple of their problems at the start of the season was kicking competitive scores. I think they may have ironed out some of that this afternoon. And looking at Austin Wanamiri, who's been struggling with a hamstring complaint at the start of the season, does look pretty trim, taut and terrific.
Another
player too, wearing the long sleeves this afternoon, Danny Hughes, a former Melbourne rookie listed player. He came back onto Melbourne's rookie list at the end of last year. These are the sort of conditions in which his long and very natural kicking style comes to the fore. So we'll see how he goes this afternoon. But it is a long, narrow ground here, Frankston. Corridor footy will be imperative for both sides.
Especially, it's going to be very hard to get it out of the wings and the flanks, especially kicking into the teeth of breeze too, if you're watching on TV, the right of screen, down towards the bay. So I think it'll be the smaller, medium forwards, as you would expect on a day like this, that are going to hold the key. The likes of Berry, I think Frankston will hold the edge, thinking that spread of scorers for mine.
It's Phil.
Whenever you're ready, we've got Sean Pollard, the Frankston captain, who's moving out with Jamie Grendel, Tim Saunders and Michael Jennings as the umpire, and Kyle Matthews, the KC Scorpions captain, is going to come in, and the toss of the coin will be thrown by Jamie Grendel. Heads is a call. Kyle Matthews has won the toss. They're keying to the Young Street end. I can tell you, Chris, this wind is worth about 6 goals. It's a pretty powerful breeze. Back to you, guys.
So Casey with first use, which is very, very telling.
Yeah, that's heading towards the eastern end of the ground. If you're watching this game on ABC TV, it would be to the left of screen as is broadcast down here. Kane.
Russell Robertson will be the key this afternoon.
Yeah, that's pretty reasonable.
He's going to trouble most of the defenders that will go to him. Pollard point, we have first crack at Rubbo. He seemed to really get into his stride in the second half against Port Melbourne. Another game under his belt here this afternoon. The narrow fields will suit him. If they can kick long to him, one-on-one against Pollard, you'd think Robertson would outpoint him. Yeah. And I think this afternoon could be the return of Russell Robertson in 2009.
Lots of proof for Sean Pollard, too. He had a dirty day last week in his 100th VFL appearance with Nick Sortner kicking six goals against him and some very good forward line delivery.
Sortner's in unbelievable form, though.
He's in an Indian summer of his career at the moment, isn't he? 14 goals in the first 2 weeks of the season.
And, we saw Sandringham play in the first round against the KC Scorpions. We didn't see the game down here last weekend, but just how many times do you reckon the ball would have got inside forward 50 for Sorten to have a crack? Because the Sandringham side, they seem to be running in numbers and using the ball very well. So he's going to have a big season, I think, Sorten, with that sort of supply.
Now, Chris, read your tips online this morning. You tipped Frankston by 9 points, sticking with it?
I might as well.
I'm leaning towards Frankston by a similar margin, a couple of goals, I think.
Do you have a ghostwriter, Chris, or are they your actual tips?
No, they're actually me, unfortunately.
Okay.
I can't blame them on anyone
else. So who'd you tip, Darren?
I tipped Frankston by 12 points.
Oh, okay.
Go on, Kane. Who are you going with?
I think the KC Scorpions will win comfortably today, looking at the two lineups.
Having seen the ins and outs, I have to say, I write those previews on a Thursday evening, and a few things have changed since then. KC coming in with a much stronger lineup than they've had over the first 2 weeks.